Here on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, and we're trying to figure out why Rav Oshia omitted all that Rabbi Chiya added. Edim Zomimim Demamonahu. The Gemara established on Daf Dalet Amud Beis a principle that according to Rav Oshia, his Braisa is B'mamona Mairi, B'knasa Lo Mairi. And the Gemara thinks that Edim Zomim is certainly Mamon, and it's not a Knas. And that's going to be a sugya later on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, that a knas is a penalty that doesn't reflect at all any sort of number, any sort of compensation that you're paying quid per quo. For example, kefel, tashlumi arba v'chamisha, I mean, there's nothing that was stolen here that you're paying back to the nignav. It's a pure penalty. Here, on the other hand, there's a specific sum that shifts from case to case, depending upon what the Edom tried to be mafsid the nidon. And we're not talking about a specific katsuv, a price that's set, like chamishim kesef of onus umafata me of mosi shemra. It's not katsuv, it shifts to reflect the amount that he tried to cause the nidon to lose. So therefore, listening, Rav Yoshia should have included this in his list. The Gemara answers, Savar lo ki Rabbi Akiva diomar ein mishalmim al pi atzman. The halacha in knas is that modu b'knas is potter. In order to be mechayev someone to pay knas, you need that edim come and testify against him. His own confession, his own self-admission would not be mechayev him knas. And that applies, according to Rabbi Akiva, in the case of Edim Zomim. So the two witnesses came forward. They wanted to do tshuva, and they confessed their crime, and they want to now be judged as Edim Zomimim, but we have no evidence against them. It's only their own admission, their own confession. In such a case, they don't pay. And that reflects the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that Edim Zomimim is knas. And the reason for this sheet of Rabbi Akiva is explained at the beginning of the Gemara Makis, that there's halacha called kasher zomam velo kasher asa, which means that the nidon has not paid up anything. If he's already paid, there's no din of edim zomim. Bezin has not been mechayev the nidon. So the nidon lost absolutely nothing out of pocket. And nevertheless, the edim zomim have to pay. That's kasher zomam. That's a pure knas. In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, the definition of knas broadens a little bit to include edim zomimim. It's not just that knas is limited to something that's katsuv, but knas applies whenever it's not compensation for a loss, and certainly here in the case of Edom Zom, it's not a compensation for loss. The Gemara right away attacks, e-sover-lei ki-Rabbi Akiva, if the Braisa of Rav Oshia, we have to keep in mind that Rav Oshia is an Amora, but he's quoting a Braisa that he received, and we never know exactly, unless we analyze it, and determine who is the author of that price. So which of the Tanoim is Rabbi Akiva? Are you now claiming that the author of the price of Rav Oshia is Rabbi Akiva, and that's reflected in the omission of Edom Zomim, is Lisni Trey Gavni Shar? Shar should have been listed under two different Avos Nezikin, according to Rabbi Akiva, if Rabbi Akiva indeed is the author of this Braisa. Why is that so? Rabbi Akiva has a unique shita with regard to the mazik of Keren, and that is Shor, the Azik Shor, and Shor, the Azik Adam. These are two fundamentally different avos, even though they both start with Shor, but the difference as to who is the victim of the attack of the Shor is a great difference, according to Rabbi Akiva. Because when a shor attacks a shor, he only pays chatzi nezek on the first three negichos, as we've discussed earlier. That's the din of shor tam. But when a shor attacks an adam, is according to Rabbi Akiva, even on the first occasion, he pays nezek shalem. And Rabbi Akiva derives this from the parsha of Shor HaMazik in Mishpatim, because the Torah says im ben yigach o bas yigach. In other words, immediately after the Torah describes a case in the previous pasuk where a shor attacks an animal, the Torah spells out that a shor who attacks a human being is kemishpat hazeh yasalo. Rabbi Akiva understands that this extra phrase, kemishpat hazeh, is referring to the din that appears in the next pasuk, where the Torah says that if it's a shor muad, he pays nezek shalim. And Rabbi Akiva assumes that the yasalo is coming to exclude a case where the shor attacks an animal, which in such a case you only pay nezek shalim igufo, whereas here, in the case where a shor attacks kiigach ben obas, then the halacha is that the shor is treated as a shor amuad, and it pays nezek shalim immediately. That sets up shor diazik adam as a separate category to Rabbi Akiva, and therefore should be counted amongst the avos, the zikin, as a separate independent count. And the Gemara says, Disnan, we have a Mishnah later on in Daf Lamed Gimel, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Af Tam Shechaval Bi Adam, Mishalim B'Mosar Nezek Sholem. The Tam who attacks a human being and injures the human being pays Nezek Sholem. Now, what does the word Mosar mean? Now, keep in mind that in this confrontation, so to speak, between the Adam and the Shor and the Adam in self-defense attacks the Shor, so to speak, he protects himself and injures the Shor, and what we do is we subtract the value of the head of the Nezek that was incurred by the Shor with the value of the Nezek that was incurred by the Adam. And that's called Mosar. So Bezdin, basically like this, let's say, for example, the Hezek to the Adam was 100. From that 100, Bezdin is going to subtract the Hezek that the Adam did to the Shor. Let's say the Adam's Hezek to the Shor was worth 50. The difference is 50. The Baal HaShor will pay the Adam, the victim, the full 50. Not chatzi nezek, not 25, but the full 50. Whereas if the shor was nogeach, another shor, the 50 would be divided in half, and the baal hashor amazik would only pay 50 to the nizak, that's chatzi nezek of a shor tam. In this case, the entire sum of 50 has to be paid by the baal hashor. And that puts shor shehizik adam, or in the language of the Mishnah, Shor Shechaval Bi Adam, on a separate level with its own independent category. So the Gemara answers, Atavri Rabbi Akiva Ligzize. Rabbi Akiva himself smashed it, so to speak, he rescinded his position. Again, we have to be very careful. It doesn't mean that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind completely. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is recorded in the Mishnah. But Rabbi Akiva toned it down a bit. And what does that mean? The Gemara says, the Sanya, we have a Braisa, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yachol, Af Tam Shechavol B'Yod Mishalim in Aliyah. One of the two distinctions between Tam and Muad is that Tam pays Chatzin Nezik. The second distinction is that Tam pays only Migufo. That's the maximum amount of compensation you could demand from the owner of the shartam is the value of the animal itself. That's called migufo. Above and beyond that, the baal ashar doesn't pay. In the case of a shar shechaval bi adam, according to Rabbi Akiva, we know that the baal ashar has to pay nezek shalim. However, there still is a vestige of the general halacha of shartam, and that is that a shor tam shechavol bi adam, instead of paying min aliyah, according to Rabbi Akiva, equating the case of a shor tam shechavol bi adam with a shor muad, Rabbi Akiva says, Talmud Lomar, Ye Asa Lo, that pasuk that we mentioned earlier, Kimishpat Azeh Ye Asa Lo, is coming as a mute, Migufo Mishalim, V'eino Mishalim in Aliyah. Like the classical Shartam, who only pays Migufo, he doesn't pay beyond the value of the Shar itself, so too the Tam, Shechol B'Adam, even according to Rabbi Akiva, only pays Migufo and not Min Aliyah. And that justifies why Shar, in a sense, is a category that includes both Shar Shahizik Shar and Shar Shahizik Adam, by virtue of this commonality that even Rabbi Akiva would accept, that in both cases the Tashlumin is limited by the ceiling of Migufo, and the Baal HaShar does not have to pay Min Aliyah. And Tosus doesn't understand Divrei Maskil Ha. So at the end of the day, he does pay Nezek Shalem, that feature, that characteristic of Shar Tam Shechav Al B'Adam should justify a separate category, even if you say he only pays Migufo. And Tosus says that since he pays Migufo, it's not considered one of the Avos Nezikin. What's common to all the Avos Nezikin, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, the Shem Av indicates that the payment has to be Mimetav Ha'aretz. And the Halacha of Migufo is Mafkia Mimetav Ha'aretz. And therefore, the Halacha says Tosfos of a Shor Tam She'chav Al B'Adam according to Rabbi Akiva does not justify that categorization as an Av, because it's lacking in the element of Meitav Sodeu, and that's a result, a reflection of the fact that he pays Migufo and not Min Aliyah. The Gemara now asks, Ha'ones v'amafate v'amotzi shemra dimamonahu lisni. In the cases of ones, mafate, motzi shemra, there's an element of Nezek, and the Brice of Rav Oshia should have included them, all these cases amongst the Avos, because they have within them a Chiyuv Mamon. In other words, there is a Knas element of Chamishim Kesef, but there's also an element of Chiyuv Mamon. And this is all explained in the Mishnah in Ksubas and Daf Lamed Tes Perkei Lunaris. So again, the Onus of Mefata will pay what's called Pagam, which is the amount of money that this Pesula lost in terms of our own personal value as a result of the Be'ila. And in addition to that, the Mefata will pay Boshes, the Ones will pay additionally Tsar, and all these Chiyuvim are Chiyuvim Mama. They're not what we call Knas. So the Gemara answers me, Manafshach. E Nezek, if you're talking about the element of Nezek here, in which the Mefata pays Pagam, which is Nezek, or, for example, the Ma'an and pays Boshes, and the Ma'anis pays Tsar, all that fits under the category of Nezek. E Tsar Tonale, Tsar was already listed amongst the 13 Avos Nezikin of Rav Oshia, v'i Boshes Tonile, likewise Boshes, v'i Pagam Hainu Nezek, u'ma Islei L'meimar, and what do you want to say, the balance of the payment, the penalty, which is called Knas, b'knas lo kamayri, that's the principle of Rav Oshia, that he's not interested in Knas. So basically, in Onus Mefata, if you break down the Chiyuvim to their various component parts, what you're left with is either Nezek, Tsar Boshes, which are listed, in fact, in the Mishnah, in the Brice of Rav Oshia, as Avos Nezikin, or what you're left with is the Knas of Chamishim Kesef, and the principle here with regard to the Brice of Rav Oshia is the Knas Lo Kamayri. Tosfos points out that this whole sugya is not really addressing Motzi Shemra. It only appears here Agavurcha, but Motzi Shemra pays a knas of Mea Kesef. There are no additional punishments, I should say, payments that are imposed upon the Motzi Shemra. So there's not even an element here of Nezek of any sort that he pays. It's pure knas. There was never a Hamamina that Rav Oshia should have added Motzi Shemra to the list. Now the Gemara asks, Hametame, Vamedame, Vamenaseach. All these categories that are listed in Rav Chia are omitted in Rav Oshia. They should be added to Rav Oshia's Brisa, the Mamonu. It's a case of Mamon. The Chiyuv is Mamon and Aknas. Listen. So the Gemara answers, Mimon of Shach. No matter how you slice the cake, Rav Oshia would not have to count these cases because of the principle called Hezek She'eno Nikar, which means that if you damage someone in a way that it changes the status of the object that was victimized, so to speak, that was damaged, in such a way that there's no physical change in the object physically, in terms of its material substance, is the same as it was before, that's called Hezek She'eno Nikar. So in these cases of metame, medame, menaseach, where he mixes isur with heter, or he takes wine and he uses it as a libation, there's nothing that's physically changed in the chemical makeup of the object. That's called hezek she'eno nikar. E hezek she'eno nikar, shmei hezek. Well, there are two opinions about hezek she'eno nikar. The value of the object is completely lost, and in that sense there's a hezek here. If I maintain that in the laws of Nezikin, the Mazik has to pay even though the Hezek is Eino Nikar, is then Hatani Le Nezek. That's included under the general rubric, which is listed in Rav Oshia's Brice of Nezek. E Hezek She'eino Nikar Lo Shmei Hezek. Then really, according to the strict rules that govern Nezikin, you should not pay for a Hezek that is not obvious, is not a physical change in the object. Then what you're left with is that in all these cases, metame, medame, menaseach, which is hezek shen and nikar, you only pay v'toras knas, is havile knas. So v'knas alo kamayri, we go back to the rule that Rav Oshia is not listing knas. The Gemara, by the way, in Masechta Ksubis, has a whole discussion about many different cases that we've discussed, how exactly we evaluate those losses. Like, for example, we spoke about the case of Mefata, which is a case that incurs a Chiyuv Pgam because she was a Basula before and she's no longer Basula. How do you exactly evaluate these things? Fine. Lema, the Gemara says the following. Lema Kasavar, based on the fact that Rabbi Chia does list Metame Medamea Menasea as Avos Nezikin, is Lema Kasavar Rabbi Chia, shall we therefore conclude that Rabbi Chia is of the opinion that Hezek Sheinu Nikar Lo Shmei Hezek? What justifies counting these as separate categories in the count of Nezikin? The E, Shmei Hezek, if he recognizes and defines, categorizes Hezek Sheinu Nikar as Nezek, Hatani Le Nezek, it's already included in Nezek. And therefore, we ought to come to the conclusion here that Hezek Sheinu Nikar, according to Rabbi Chia, Lav Shmei Hezek. And if you take a look in the Sugya in Gittin, which Tosus quotes here, Chizkiah says, Hezek Sheinu Nikar Shmei Hezek. And the Gemara here is not excited L'chatchila with the proposition of making a machlokas here between Rav Chia and Chizkiah. And the reason for that is Rav Chia is the father of Chizkiah. Rather than create a controversy, a debate between the father of Chia and the son Chizkiah, the Gemara would rather assume that Rav Chia and Chizkiah maintain the same position. We know that Chizkiah maintains the position that Hezek Sheinu Nikar Shmei Hezek. But here, in the Brisa of Rav Chia, he lists all these cases of Hezek Shein and Nikar as separate categories, and assuming that, like his son Chizkia, Rav Chia maintains that Hezek Shein and Nikar Shmei Hezek Hatani Le Nezek, these categories are included under the general rubric of Nezek. So by process of elimination, the only possible way of justifying categorizing these as separate is if we hold that Hezek Shein and Nikar is nothing more than a Knas. It means lo shmei ezek, and the Gemara rejects this and now maintains that Enoch Inami Reb Chia would classify and define ezek shein and nikar as hezek. The chiyuv is meikar adin. It's not a knas and it's nezek. Why does Reb Chia categorize them separately? Tana ezeka de minkara, vitana ezeka de lo minkara. These cases of mitameo, midameo, umenasech, insofar as there's no physical change that's obvious, that's apparent to the eye, it means it's a different kind of a nezek. That itself generates a shame av to be categorized separately in the calculation of Rabbi Chia's 24 categories of the avos nezikin. Bishleim, the Gemara says, Latana didan. We understand the Tana of our Mishnah, Tana Minyana. Why does this is a general Shas question. Whenever analyzing a Mishnah, the Gemara wants to know why the Bala Mishnah had to mention a number we could count. Is Lemu'ute, the rule is that a number is coming to exclude something. So the Tana of our Mishnah is coming to exclude Rabbi Chia, that broadened definition of the Ovis Nezikin that gets up to 13. Rav Oshi, on the other hand, mentions 13 Tana Minyana Limute de Rabbi Chia, wants to exclude the 24 of Rabbi Chia. El Minyana de Rabbi Chia Limute Mai. What Mazikin are coming to be excluded by the number 24 of Rabbi Chia? And the Gemara answers Limute Moser Umefagel. Moser means a person who causes the loss, the confiscation of someone's mammon by notifying the non-Jewish authorities, the government, that so-and-so, this Jew did such and such terrible thing of a Moser. And a mefagel is a Kohen who in his machsheves shchita, when he shechts a carbon, he has a machsheves pigul. For example, let's say he shechts a chatos l'shem shlomim, the carbon becomes pasul. Now the bala carbon has to bring a second carbon to replace the first. And in such a case, the kohen has to pay for that loss b'toras mefagel, because he's a mazik. And these are excluded. The list there, why they excluded? Bishlem mefagel, Bekodshim loka mairi. Reb Chia is talking about hezek that's caused to chulin but not to kodshim. Ela moser maitaima lotani. Why did he omit the case of moser? Shani moser, says the Gemara, did dibura. This hezek is only caused through dibur. Right, the moser tattled on the Jew in front of the government. He didn't do any sort of a maisa hezek. In the case of pigul, the machshava integrates with the maisa shchita, and the shchita engenders the psul of pigul. And again, we didn't discuss the issue in Masechta Gittin. Why and when is the kohen chayev to pay damages for machshavas pigul? Is it a case of mezid, or is it a case of shogeg? Rashi says, shechoshav la'ochlan chutz l'zmano, which sounds like Rashi might be including even the case of a shogeg. And the question is, what about machsheves chutz l'zmano? We discussed the case of machsheves Shinui Karbon, then Chatos L'Shem Shlomim. The Sugyan Gittin addresses the case of Chashav Li'ochlo Chutz Lizmano. And in that case of Pigul, The din is that shogeg is potur. And we could say it in one of two ways. We could say that's halacha in machsheves chutz l'zmano, or we could say no, even in machsheves chutz l'zmano. In other words, there is a logical possibility to say that even though he was a shogeg, he still has to pay, because there's a very strong element here of negligence in the fact that the kohen, by thinking about the time allotment for achila, and he certainly should be aware of that, he had a machshav of chutz l'zmano. And Rashi wants to tell us in Gittin that even so, even though the element of pshia here is a little bit stronger, I mean, to make a mistake about what the carbon is, whether it's a chatas or shlamim, considering the kohen is a human being, he makes a mistake. And there are so many karbonos in the Azara, the kohen is tarud, maybe if he thought about chatas l'shem shlamim, he's like an ones, and he's potter. So it could be that here he's chayev because of the element of pshia, and that's the chiddush. That's if you hold that a kohen who's mefagel is chayev even in a case of shogeg. In any event, the Gemara says that the reason why Moser is omitted from the counting of Reb Chiya is because b'dibura lo kamayri. So the Gemara immediately attacks this. For Motzi Shemra, the case of Motzi Shemra, which is included under the Ovis Nezikin of Reb Chiya de Diburahu, all we have l'chor is dibur in this Havmin of the Gemara. He's telling us that she is not a basula, and he's being Motzi Shemra, falsely accusing her of being a ba'ula, uketani, and the Gemara answers, dibur de ispe maisahu. The case of Motzi Shemra is a unique case. It's called a dibur de ispe maisa, because the ba'ila itself is the machayef here. And the Gemara is now maintaining that the Motzi Shemra is only chayef if, number one, he implemented a maisa ba'ila, and number two, he falsely he creates a libel against her that he didn't find Besulin. So the Dibur of Lomatsasi Besula Besulin integrates together with the Maisa Be'ila, and that's called B'dibura de Ispe Maisa, as opposed to Moser, which is pure Dibur, and there's no element of Maisa whatsoever. Now, this Gemara, says Rashi, reflects the sheet of Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov in Ksubas Daf Mem Vav against Rabbi Yehuda, but Tosus wants to say that even Rabbi Yehuda might agree that this is called, Motzi Shemra is classified as Dibur Dispei Maisa, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion in Ksubas that Motzi Shemra is only chayev if he hires witnesses to perjure themselves and testify that she had znus during the time of Erusin. In any event, the Gemara now asks, V'aedim zomimim, which is counted in the list of Rabbi Chiya, dibur de lespe maisahu, the Eidim zomimim are chayev because of perjury of Eidus Sheker, that's pure dibur ketani, uketani, nevertheless it's listed. The Gemara answers, Hasam, Afal Gav, the Lesbe Maisa, Rachmona Karye Le Maisa. The Torah classifies Edim Zomimim as if they did a Maisa. The Chsiv, the Torah says, Vasisem Lo, Kashizomim Lasos Liochiv. Lasos Liochiv means what they did, even though it was only Dibur. The Torah classifies it as Maisa. And it could be very possible that this sugya, which classifies Edim Zomimim as Maisa, or Dibura de Ispe Maisa, this sugya is maintaining the Shita that in Dini Mominos, there's no din of Kasha Zomim velo Kasha Asa. It means that even though Bezdin was Gomer Asadin, based on the testimony, and Bezdin Paskin, that Reuven has to pay Shimon because the Edim testified to that effect, Nevertheless, the Vasisim law applies. And here there's a Mice element, because through that Dibur, the Edom caused Bezdin to issue a Psak. Again, that's only true in Dini Momenus. But in any event, as far as Nezikin is concerned, we're talking about Dini Momenus. And if we suspend the principle of Kasher Zom, lo Kasher Osa, then it's really Lasos Liachiv, because Bezdin, based on their testimony, issued a final verdict to obligate Reuven to pay money. Bishlam, the Gemara says, Litana didan, Litana va Mishnah, Tana avos, Michal dika toldos. And in each one of the four avos nezikin listed in our Mishnah, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, there are toldos, El Rab Chiyav, Rab Oshia, avos, Michal dika toldos, toldoseya maininu. It's not apparent, it's not obvious that there are any toldos in the cases listed in the Brisa of Rav Oshia, the Brisa of Rav Chiya. Omer Rabbi Avo, here's a breakthrough. What is the listing of Avos mean? A new pshat in the word Avos. Not to generate toldos, but kulam ki Avos l'shalem mimetav. The word Avos indicates that what's common to all these Avos nezikin, that's why we call them Avos, is that if the mazik pays with karka, he has to pay his compensation to the nizak with the best karka in his possession, which means the iddis of his karka. My time, how do we establish this rule? Asya tachas nesina yishalem kesef. And this is a very complicated yalfusa from which we derive the halacha of Meitav. It's called Tachas Nesina Yishalem Kesef, and it is a Gzeirah Shava that begins with Shein V'Regel, where the Torah says V'Shilach Es Be'ira U'Bir V'Steyacher Meitav Sodeu U'Meitav Kamo Yishalem. So we have some very important words over here. The most important word is Yishalem. And in all the Nezikin, the Torah repeats words which allow us to make this Gzeirah Shava. In Shein V'Regel, it says Yishalem. Whenever it says Yishalem in the Torah, it means to pay Meitav. For example, in Shor, it says Shalem, Yishalem Shor Tachas Hashor. So the word Yishalem indicates Meitav. And in the pasuk here of Nizke Shor, it says Tachas. That becomes now a code word, a key word. And wherever we see the word Tachas, we know it means Meitav. And in Bor, it says Bala Bor Yishalim Kesef Yoshiv Lebailov. So once we've established that Yishalim means Meitav, it also says Kesef. Whenever it says Kesef, therefore, it means Meitav. And in the parsha of Shor Shenogach Eved V'Oma, it says Kesef Shloshim Shkolim Yitein Ladonov, and that teaches us where it says Kesef. So basically, if we go through all the Avos Nezikin, we're going to decide that they all come under Yishalim, the Meitav Sadeu, Umeitav Karma Yishalim. For example, the Arbos HaShomrim, it says Yishalim in Sharchinom, it says Asher Yashin Olehim, Yishalim in Shol, it says Bailov, Ein Imo Yishalim, Yishalim in Shomer Sokh, it says Imikonov Yignov, Me Imo Yishalim, Socher as the Din of Shomer Chinom, Shomer Sokh, if it says Yishalim, in Adam Sheizik Adam, the Parsuk says Kasha Yitain Mumba Adam Ken Yinosen Bo. So we have the word Nesina, which indicates, of course, based on this Gzeirah Shava, Meitav, which we derive from Shor Shenogach Eved. In Tsar, the Torah says Petza Tachas Petza. So we have the word Tachas, and Tachas always means Meitav. And in Ripui, it says Rakshivto Yitain Virapu Yiraki. That's already the word Nesino, which already we derived is Meitav. In Onis Mafata, Chamishim Kesef, the word Kesef. And basically, the Gemara goes through all these drushes to show you that in each one of the 24 cases of Rabbi Chiya, it has one of these words, either Tachas Nesino or Yishalim Kesef. Now the Gemara asks, Lo harei hashor karei mav. The Mishnah says that if we only had shor, we would not derive mav. My kamer, why? Amar Rav Zvid mishmei de Rava hachi kamer. This is what the Tana means to tell us. Lichtov Rachmana chada v'teisei idoch minei. The Tana of Abraisa wants to say, why did the Torah have to go through all the avos nezikin? Why not give us one and we'll derive the rest from that one? That's called a bavematzinu. If the Torah says that Yechayef for Nizke Shar, then we should also derive the conclusion that Yechayef for Mave. Hadarana, then the Tana goes on and says, Chadami Chadal Lo Asya. If we only add one, we cannot derive another one. Each one has a Machayef, has a Chumra of its own. And that Chumra generates is a Siva Sachiyuv. And therefore we're going to try to put two together and see if we derive the rest from two. And the Mishnah says, "Lo zeh v'zeh sheyesh bem ruach chayim." I kamar omer av misharishim mishmei derava hachi kamar. And here we turn to daf hey omid beis. Lichtov rachmana tarti v'teisei idach minayhu. Let the Torah teach us. That's how Rav Misharishim says in the name of Rava. Two out of the nezikin, out of the obvious nezikin, and we'll derive the rest from two of them. That's called a Bameh Tzad with a Tzad Hashoveh. So for example, if the Torah would have written Shor and Maveh, which let's say would mean, if we go according to the Sheet of Shmuel, it means Keren and Shein. That's how Shmuel understands Shor and Maveh. We could derive Eish. Because if you had only one of them, for example, let's say you only had Keren, you would say that the Siva Sachiyuv in Keren is Kavanos Lahazik, which we don't have in Eish. Eish doesn't have the Chumra of Kavanos Lahazik, and therefore we cannot derive it from Keren. But the Torah mentions Shein. And if the Torah was Mechaivas in Shein, even though Shein is not Kavanos Lahazik, you see that there's a Mazik even without Kavanos Lahazik. So therefore we could derive Eish from a combination of Shein, of Keren and Shein. And that's called Lichtov Rachmana Tarti V'teisei Idach Minayhu. Now, you could reject it. And you would say that if you only had Shein, you couldn't derive Eish because Shein has the extra machayev of hanaaso yesh hanola zeka, which Eish doesn't have, and that's why the Torah is machayev shein. But then you bring back Karen, and Karen will tell you that even though it's not yesh hanola zeka, nevertheless yachayev. So the machayev is not hanaaso lahazik. So since the Torah wrote both of these, let's say Karen and Shein, and they have different chumras, you see that these chumras are not the Sibas HaMechayev, and therefore we can reduce these two to their, shall we say, the lowest common denominator. It's Darkon Lahazik Shmirasan Alecha, and the same thing should apply to Eish. Is therefore Hodar Omar. The Hodar Omar Chadomitarti Loasi. We cannot even derive Eish from the combination, the Tzadashove, of Shor, which is Keren, and Mava, which is Shein. And why is that? Because both of these, Keren and Shein, have a Chumra that Eish doesn't have. What's the common Chumra that links together Karen and Shane into one entity, and that is Yesh Bem Ruach Chaim. The Torah makes you responsible for the fact that you have a live animal under your shmira and in your possession. In the case of Eish, which is Ein Bo Ruach Chaim, maybe the Torah is not Machayev. So now that we know that we can't derive Shor from Mava, and Mava from Shor, and we cannot derive Eish from the combination of Shor and Mava, Rava tells us that in fact the Torah could have given us bar is the biggest chiddush, because in the case of bar the nizak comes to the mazik, Bar and one of the other avos nezikin, whatever one, whichever one you choose, Amar Rav Vakulu, you could derive all the avos nezikim kishadis bar beinayu. If you had bar together with any of the avos nezikin, asya kulu b'matzad, you could derive from bar plus x meaning any one of the mazikin, all of the balance of the nezikin, meaning that all the nezikin have the darkon lahazik, and anyone who has that chumra of darkon lahazik is chayiv. Lebarmi keren, the only one that Rava says we have to admit would not be able to derive, Mishum Dika de Mifrach, Malakulish came one of Mitchilasan, Keren needs to be written in the Torah, that's for sure, because Keren is unique that it's not Muad Mitchilaso. And for sure we would not derive, even Dak and Lahazik would not tell me anything about Keren. In fact, the Torah says that in the case of Keren, it's a Talmud, only pays Nezek Sholim on the fourth Nezek. The fourth Maisa Hezek. So the Gemara says now, Ulaman di Omar Adra Keren Adifa Shekavanoso Lahazik, that Keren really has the propensity to be Mazik Pekavana from the get go. The only reason you pay Chatzi Nezek on the first three rounds is that the Torah had Rachmanus and lowered the price from Nezek Sholem to Chatzi Nezek is afilu Keren Nami Asya. According to that Manyom, we could even derive Keren from the other, from Tzad Hashava of Bar and one of the others. Ela Lamai Hilchasa Kasvinu Rachmana, if you could derive all the Avos Nezikin from Bar and one of the other Avos, why did the Torah have to therefore specify all the Avos, Lilchoseyen, to teach us the various limitations that apply to each, respectively, to each one of the Avos Nezikin? For example, Keren, the Torah wanted to teach us L'chalik bin Tama L'muedes, that you only pay Chatzi Nezek Migufo up until the fourth Nezek, when you then pay Nezek Sholem and Aliyah. Shein V'regel, the Torah wanted M'chadish L'fotra on B'rshus HaRabim. Ubir B'steyacher, the Torah says, and the Gemara Darshan's later on, B'steyacher V'lo B'rshus HaRabim. Bar, Liftar Bo Esa Kelim. If Kalim fall into a bar, you're potur. And that's the Shitas Chachamim. Later on in Bava Kama Nun Gimel Mid Beis, it says, V'nofal Shama Shar O Chamar. And the word Chamar comes to exclude Kalim. You don't pay for Kalim. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, but what do you say according to Rabbi Yehuda? The Mechayev Al Nizkei Kalim B'bar. He holds that you are Chayev in bar, and he uses the word O as a ribui to include Kalim. So why does the Torah have to write bar? Lift our boas ha'adam to teach us that if a man, a human being, falls into the bar, you don't have to pay damages. The Gemara says, Adam, if a man attacks another human being, lechayvo, the parash is coming to be mechayvo be arba dvarim, to pay nezek, in addition to nezek, to pay tsar, ripui, shevis, and boshes. Eish, lift our boas atomun, that if the fire burns something that's covered up, you don't pay, because the Torah says, v'nechal gadish o hakoma. And the Gemara in Perakakones derives from this pasuk that koma is gluya, it's exposed, but not something that's tamun. The Gemara now asks, Ula Rabbi Yudin, Mechayev al niske tamun b'yesh, lasuye mai, why did the Torah have to give us the parash of esh, yechayev even for tamun? And the Gemara answers, lasuye lichecha niro v'sichecha avonov. The chiddush of the Torah is, and it's based on the pasuk Kiseitze Eishu Matza Kotzim V'Nechal Godish O Hakomo Asoda. Rabbi Yehuda Darshins in Perek HaKonis from the word Asoda, that you're even chayef in Ezekiel of Karka or Avonim. We would have thought that Eish should not be chayef on something that it's not royal, and it's not regila for an Eish to burn up Karka, or to be mesachseich an even, and yet you chayiv even for that. And then the Mishnah establishes that tzad shavish ben, and the Gemara wants to know. Okay, we know that all the nezikin are chayiv, and why do you have to add Hatzad Hashav Hashem Shadarka Lahazik Shmirasan Olechok Shehizik Chav Hamazik L'Shalim Tashlumei Nezik V'Meitav Sadehu. The Mishnah is unusually verbose. Suye Mayom Rabaye Lasuye Avno Sakino Umaso Sheinichon Berosh Gago V'Naflu Beruach Mitzuya V'Ziku. He's chayev to pay when he puts up an even or a sakin or something on top of the roof, and it's blown down in a ruach mitzuya, normal velocity wind. Hechi dami ibahadi the kaazli kamazki. If it damages as it's going down, that could not be the case of Abaye, because then why do we need a tzad shoveh from two avos in order to teach us this case? Haidu eish, that's exactly eish. Eish, maishna eish, tekoach achmuruv bo. Eish means that you utilize the factor of the wind in order to create the hezek. Because he didn't watch the eish. Hani nami, these cases as well. You put up a dangerous object on the top of a roof, knowing full well it's going to fall in a regular velocity wind. That's called koach achamuruv bohen umamoncha ushmirasan alecha v'ela basa denaychi. After it lands, so the Gemara says mimonefshach e the afkarinu, if he made it hefker. Is Bain La Rav, Bain La Shmuel, as we discussed earlier, both Rav and Shmuel agree. Hainu Bar, that's a case of Bar. Maishna Bar. Shekein Tchilas Asiyosu Lenezek, Umamon Cho Shmirosan Alecha. Haninami Tchilas Asiyon Lenezek, Umamon Cho Shmirosan Alecha. So if he was Mafkir, this has all the propensities of Bar. Ella, the law of Karinu, if he didn't make it hefker, is l'Shmuel the Amar Kula Mibor L'Madnu Ainu Bar. According to Shmuel, despite the fact that he still owns it, nevertheless it's Bar. So once again, why do you have to derive this under a separate category of Atzad HaShavash Ben? And the answer is L'Yolam, the Afkarinu, Lo Domi L'Bar, but this is a different case than Bar. Ma Bar, She'ein, Koach achem uruv bo, tomer bahani shekoach achem uruv ben. In bar, you dug the bar, or you put the bar down. Here, you needed the wind to create the bar. So we're going to stop here, and we're going to point out that the Gemara really establishes that in this case of Avnos Hakino Maso Shenichem Rosh Gago, it would not come under a classical case of bar because you need koach achem uruv bo. Also, it would not come under Eish. Eish tochiach that has koach achem uruv bo. Mala Eish. Shekein. Darko. Lelech. Ula hazik. This is not a darko lelech hazik because the nizak had to come to the mazik and be injured by the avno sakino maso. And bar tochiach. But you're going to teach me from bar and prove that even if it's not darko lehazik, you're chayv chazar ad-din. So basically with this chazar ad-din, what we have is a combination of both bar and eish, and we combine them together, that's when we can generate this chiyuv of avno sakinu maso v'rosh gagon.